We are joined in the studio this morning by Dr. Sherry Speed. She is the founder,
yes,
and the director of the In Defense of Animals, Africa's Sanaga Young Chimpanzee Rescue Center. It's in Cameroon?
Right, it's in Cameroon on the west coast of Africa.
Can you tell us, what is the work that you do?
Well, the work, one of the factors that are driving chimpanzees extinct all over Africa is the trade in meat, ape meat. It's an illegal trade, and one of the side effects of the meat trade is a population of orphan chimpanzees. And what my organization does is we work with the government to enable their enforcement of laws by providing logistical support for confiscation of illegally held orphans. And then we provide a sanctuary for them, and we've encircled tracts of forest and reestablished adoptive family groups back in the forest. And we have 69 chimpanzees there, ranging in age from 6 months to over 50 years.
Dr. Sherry Speed, I know that when we talk about these profound issues around primates, conservation in the wild, mm-hmm. This is a way bigger, I think that maybe this is a way bigger issue, it's a way bigger vision that you have than some of the other environmental visions that we talk about in other parts of the world, because you're talking about the environment. You're talking about people who live, where you do your conservation work, as well as this amazing race of people that, I mean, I think of them as people, chimpanzees. So what are all the aspects of your job in trying to, basically what I think that you try to create a community that can be sustainable among all these different factors. That's amazing. What are the biggest obstacles in creating sanctuary and preserving the environment? Because you need to do that as well.
Right. I think maybe I'll explain the big issue. And the big issue in Africa is that chimpanzees are going extinct. In every country where they live, they're going extinct. And there's three major factors that are causing their extinction. Two pertain to habitat destruction. The first is that we have international logging companies that are coming in logging to feed the European and Asian demand for wood products. Then we have, within Africa, a population explosion. And we think that within Cameroon, the population is increasing by about 400,000 people a year.
The human population.
The human population, yeah. So what's happening is that these human settlements are then pushing farther and farther into the forest, following the logging roads, actually. And then they slash and burn more of the forest for subsistence agriculture. So those are the two factors pertaining to the destruction of habitat. But then, as important, and possibly, in fact, probably the most immediate threat to chimpanzee survival in Central Africa, is that the logging roads facilitate this illegal hunting trade. And we have, chimpanzees are very vulnerable to hunters with shotguns. They're large and slow moving, and mothers who are carrying infants are more vulnerable still. And so when a mother chimpanzee is killed and the baby survives the hunt, the hunters will try to sell the baby as a pet or a tourist attraction. And it's completely illegal, the trade in ape meat and the trade in ape orphans. And so then we, unfortunately, there's very inadequate enforcement. And then I would like to just address one misconception, is what is feeding the hunting trade in apes. And it is actually, as chimpanzees and gorillas, as their meat has become rare and as there has been a growing awareness of the laws against it, the trade has gone underground. And so the meat is very expensive. So the trade is actually being fed by or fueled by this affluent class of people in the urban areas who can afford to pay more for their food. So it's not the poor starving people who are having to eat chimpanzees to survive. It's more a status symbol for people who have money. They can show that they have money. It's a way to honor their important guests by serving ape meat.
We're speaking with Dr. Sherry Speed of the Sanaga Young Chimpanzee Rescue Center in Cameroon. What does it mean for humanity if chimps go extinct?
Well, I think that we all benefit from diversity on the planet. whether it's chimpanzees or big cats or any of the other large number of species who are spiraling to extinction because of human activity. Intrinsically, the world will be a poorer place without the existence of diversity. But chimpanzees, in particular, they are, as you said earlier, they are another kind of people. And I think as you come to know them, it's hard not to think that that they should have the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to live as a people free in the forest. And we humans are, our population is growing exponentially while all the other ones are plummeting.
Talk a little bit about, tell the story of how you came to do this work, because this is not casual. This is a life mission. How'd you start?
Well, I was working as a veterinarian in Portland. I was a owner of a practice over on Barber Boulevard, and I sold that back in 1995 to work for an animal organization called In Defense of Animals. And with that advocacy organization, I started doing some work with primates in sanctuaries. And then in January of 97, I went over to Cameroon for the first time and worked with chimps and gorillas, and then went again and again, and just got really connected to the conservation issue as an activist. And then as of late 1998, I've lived there. So I've been there 12 years.
Who helped build the actual facility? How did the facility itself come about?
Well, I worked, all the land is government land, and so we had to get permission from the government and search the country to find a piece of forest that met our criteria, which was, you know, accessibility and enough villagers to grow the food and natural habitat for chimpanzees. And we finally landed in the Embargé Forest, which is a very rural, remote part of Cameroon. And then I worked with some wonderful volunteers who came and they worked in construction building houses, and they came and helped me put together these big fences. Our largest enclosure is almost 25 acres, and we have them ranging from we have a small one that's about an acre, and then they range up to 25 acres, and we have 7 enclosures now, and they're all lushly forested little tracts of habitat.
We're speaking with Dr. Sherry Speed about her work helping run a chimpanzee sanctuary in Cameroon. A lot of us parents complain about having wild kids. How do you raise a baby chimp? What do they need?
Well, chimpanzees are stronger than people. By the time they're 3, most of our orphans are stronger than me. And by the time they're 5 or 6, they're stronger than a man while they're still small. And so without the strong male role models that come in a natural chimpanzee hierarchy, they're constantly testing authority, and they get to an age where they really do belong with other chimpanzees. And that is what creates the problem with these orphans, is people take, even well-intentioned people who buy chimps as pets or as sometimes toys for the kids, they bring them in as little babies that are adorable, much like little human infants, but then they quickly grow to be too strong and testing and stealing food and biting. And so they're invariably locked in horrible forms of confinement, sometimes on chains around their neck and sometimes in small cages. But because they're strong spirits, their strong will to survive, they can live like that in really deplorable conditions for decades.
The work that you do, helping rescue these abandoned babies, or maybe even babies that have been, are you able to ever rescue chimps that are living in terrible conditions as well?
That's actually what I did in the beginning. I mean, that was my intention. I had this very naive idea. I had met some adult chimps who had languished in horrible forms of captivity for decades, and I befriended them, and I really wanted to take them back to the forest. And so my idea was to circle a tract of forest, take a few adult chimps back to the forest, and work as an activist in conservation. But once I had an infrastructure in the forest set up, then because because the hunting trade and the orphaning of chimpanzees is ongoing, then baby chimpanzees started arriving. And then we just now, the majority of our 69 chimps are babies. But we have, we've rescued quite a few adults, but the babies are the majority.
And they stay in the enclosure.
They have, we have a, what I call enclosure complexes. We have these very, very large satellite cages that they come in to sleep at night. And then they have large tracts of forest that they go out into in the day. And they're not forced to come in at night, but they almost always choose to come in. And we provision for them. Their tracts of forest aren't large. Although there's a lot of natural wild fruits in the enclosures, it's not enough for them to provision for themselves completely. So we provide food four times a day, which is, and it's expensive, which is why fundraising events like this one we're doing are very important.
And Dr. Sherry Speed is in town for this annual event. It's called Chimp Fest. This is Chimp Fest 2010. How many Chimp Fests have there been?
This is the third annual event that has been hosted by Laughing Planet. Laughing Planet Cafe has been a long-term supporter. They've supported In Defense of Animals Africa for more than 10 years and have been a very, very important source of income for us. But the Chimp Fest is the last 3 years. We're very grateful.
And if you did want to find out more about Chimp Fest, because it'll come around next year as well, chimpfest.org. Is there more information on that website about how people can support your work as well?
Yes, there is.
And we're speaking with Dr. Sherry Speed. She's with the Sanagayong Chimpanzee Rescue Center in Cameroon. You know, okay, I just have to say, going from having a veterinarian's office on Barber Boulevard to helping rescue chimps in Cameroon is a huge leap. I mean, you're talking about little kittens and puppies and probably golden retrievers, and then you're going towards, I mean, wild animals. What kind of learning curve did you have in terms of understanding how to work with chimpanzees? And when you say work with them, what do you mean? Do you brush their teeth? Do you brush their fur? Do you just get out of the way? What do you do?
Once we've introduced them into a group, now when they're little babies, they do need surrogate mothers, the little really small ones. And so we do have a lot of one-on-one contact with them. But as soon as possible, we put them into a family group, an adoptive family group of chimpanzees, and then we don't take them out again. But we do, again, we provide food. We have interaction regularly with all the chimps, but we don't. They get what they need emotionally at that point from their chimpanzee family, which is what we want to happen. But we, you know, I provide medical care if they get sick, and they're susceptible to all the human diseases. So they, because they do have contact with caregivers, they sometimes will contract colds from people that in chimpanzees can be a lot more serious than they are in people, unfortunately. But that kind of thing.
How do you, so is your organization staffed by all volunteers?
No, we do work with volunteers from all over the world, but I have 20 local staff, and so we're a very important source of income there for the local community. When I went into that community, the people had seen white loggers before, but nobody had ever seen a white woman. So I was, the children were afraid of me, and but we quickly became good neighbors. I do a lot of medical support in the community. There's no other medical care, and so we've saved literally hundreds of lives of children by providing just basic care for malaria, diarrhea, pneumonia. And what we do is we don't give the care away, but we allow them to trade what they have for the medical care. And often it's fruit or food for the chimpanzees. If they don't grow anything or they can't make anything that we need, then I'll usually put somebody in the family to work long enough to pay off the medical care. And it's a barter system that's really worked well for us. And, you know, we also buy the food for the chimpanzees from the community. We do fruit runs twice a week. We go into 7 villages to buy the food, and they started growing food specifically for us. So we've created a little market economy there in this forest where none existed before, and it's made a huge change in the quality of life of the people there.
Ironic to consider the impact that logging has had on a place that's so far away. And you were talking about white loggers when here in Oregon, our economy was, I'm just going to say, destroyed by multinational logging companies. Do you ever think about the ironies or even the parallels there? Or do you ever watch these logging companies and think about what they did in Oregon?
Certainly, I do sometimes, because I worked in the 1980s when I first came to Oregon. I was a transplant here. I was involved with the Oregon Natural Resources Council in trying to take inventory of the forest here, because back then nobody knew what existed. It was the days of the logging heyday. And I relate the two, but it is different because in Cameroon, the forests are rarely clear cut. Now, that's not the case with all over Africa, but in Cameroon, our forests are very heterogeneous, and they can't use all of the species in the forest, so they go in and take the trees that they need and leave the rest. But what's really, really damaging is that even though the animals can come back, once the chainsaws have passed, they leave the logging roads. And the logging roads, again, then the human settlements come in, they slash and burn more forests for their agriculture, and then the poachers follow. They provide conduits for the poachers in and out. So the logging is really a devastating factor.
I'm interested in what the landscape looks like. What kind of trees are there?
There are all kinds, and I don't really. There's lots of wild fruit trees that the chimpanzees get in. I mostly hear the local names of the trees, which I can't even repeat. But it's unlike the evergreens, that there's just a few kinds here. There's hundreds of kinds of trees there.
What kinds of fruit do the chimpanzees love to eat that is grown there, or that the locals sell to you?
We feed them sweet potatoes, cocoa yams, or it's an underground tuber. We feed them lots of greens. They eat peanuts, papaya, pineapple, bananas, of course, oranges, guavas. But whatever's in season, that's what we feed.
And we're speaking with Dr. Sherry Speed. She is what is your official title?
I am the director. The Director of Indefensive Animals Africa and the Sanaga Young Chimpanzee Rescue Center. And then if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to just give my own website, if that's okay.
That would be great.
It's on www.ida-africa.org, and they can link to the Chimp Fest information from that website as well. But of course, after the event tomorrow, the Chimp Fest website will come down, but my own ida-africa.org website will still be there.
This interview is being recorded in mid-August, and that's why Dr. Sherry is here in Oregon, because most of the time she's in Cameroon. Something that I'm just curious about, what is a typical day at the sanctuary? You must work 7 days a week. Maybe not, but what is a typical day? What do you do?
Well, I am not in the forest anymore all the time. I used to be, but I have a daughter, a 9-year-old daughter, who goes to school in the city. So I spend about 1 week a month in the forest at the sanctuary, and I have other people who manage when I'm not there. But when I'm there, usually I'm seeing lots of sick people from the village because they save up their different maladies unless it's something urgent, and then I have a manager who can do a lot of medical care that she's learned from me. But anyway, it's a lot of seeing sick people. We have since 1999, our chimpanzee population has grown from 3 to 69, so we're constantly developing infrastructure. There's lots and lots of maintenance. We have these 7 large enclosures, and so there's tons of maintenance always to be done. There's often medical issues with the chimpanzees. Thankfully, a lot of them are mild issues, but I always deal with those, that kind of thing. Right now, we have one very young orphan, and care for the orphan is very labor-intensive. I mean, the young baby is really labor-intensive. We also have a paralyzed chimp right now, I'll just mention. One of our little chimpanzees, his name is Arvid, got meningitis last November that left him blind, deaf, and completely paralyzed. He quickly got his hearing and his vision back. But he is still, he was completely paralyzed and couldn't move at all for some time. But now he's gradually regaining his movement. And but he can't walk still. So we, a lot of our resources go toward his physical therapy right now.
Physical therapy, what do you do? Put him on a bicycle? What could you possibly do?
Well, we do a lot of... I'm working with a physical therapist in Britain, and she's just advising us on a lot of different exercises. And one of the really neat things is there's a prosthetic and orthotic specialist here in Portland named Michael Moore. And I've worked with him to design a special wheelchair for Arvid, where he can put his hands and his feet on the ground. And we think that this wheelchair is going to be a very important transition for Arvid, and that through the use of this wheelchair, he'll learn to walk again. Right now, we do a lot of just range of motion exercises and encouraging him to try to move his legs and his hands and things like that.
Dr. Sherry, in the years that you've been on the African continent, have you seen these issues around primates, primate habitats, and conservation? Have they changed at all, or have they intensified? What have you seen over time in this work?
Well, what I've seen with the chimpanzee and the gorilla issue specifically is that really has gone underground since we were there. When I was first there, there were hotels and amusement parks where you could go and find chained chimpanzees. You could commonly see chimpanzee and gorilla meat being sold openly in the market. That doesn't happen anymore. We pretty much confiscated all the chimps that are being held in public places. What's happening now is you have people who want to order chimp or gorilla meat, usually they're dealers, they're meat dealers, and so they give the command, and then the dealer in turn goes and gives the order to a hunter, which is often just a poor village person who, and sometimes the dealers even give them the guns to do the hunt. And then the chimp or gorilla meat is actually sold before it even comes into the city. And other times it's smoked, so you can't really recognize it, and except through DNA studies. But it's the fact that there are still baby orphans coming into captivity is indisputable evidence that the hunting trade goes on, because there's no mother chimpanzee who's going to abandon her baby except in death. So we know that it's happening, but it's not so so visible as before, except that we see the orphans.
And we are speaking with Dr. Sherry Speed, the Director of In Defense of Animals Africa. And we just have a few more minutes. I'm curious what insights you have from this very specific prism of very critical relief work that you're doing in the environment. Does it give you a bigger picture sense of what's happening on other parts of the African continent or in the world? I know this is the year of the tiger, and I know that some people are estimating that tigers might be wiped out because tiger meat and tiger artifacts are so sought after this year. Do you have any other insights that might be really crucial for people in Oregon and around the world to be aware of?
Well, one of the things that is really striking to me is that you have, we think that at about 100 years ago, there were 1 million to 2 million chimpanzees on the African continent, and now they're between 100,000 and 200,000. And that's happened in about 100 years. It took 5 million years for the population to get where it was at the turn of in 1900, and then it's just really a speck of time where the population just absolutely plummets. And that's happened all over the world with all kinds of species, and it's all because of human activity, the Industrial Revolution and the demand for products that has created, the overpopulation. And if patterns don't change, there is no doubt about it, if patterns don't change, we're going to be a pretty lonely species on the planet, because there's not going to be much left. So I would just encourage awareness and just that.
Dr. Sherry Speed, In Defense of Animals Africa, how can we support your work and find out more about it?
I think I would encourage people here to only buy wood that's logged sustainably. That doesn't really affect what's happening in Africa because most of our wood is going to Europe and Asia. But that's the message that we give there, and much of the South American wood and the wood here, it should be logged sustainably. And I think as far as helping on the ground in Africa, really providing financial resources for those of us who are doing the work, because there's so much that I want to do that I'm limited because I don't have the money. We've done a radio campaign that has really increased awareness of the laws, and now we've developed a social marketing campaign with a great television spot featuring celebrity musicians in Cameroon, really condemning consumption of chimpanzees and gorillas, and we just need broadcast dollars for that. There's protected areas, we need resources for that. So really, these wonderful chimpanzees at Sanangiang Chimpanzee Rescue Center. So, and I just want to emphasize too that the money that's given to In Defense of Animals Africa is going directly to Cameroon with me. I'm going back on Wednesday, so I take the resources with me and apply it directly on the ground. It doesn't go to a lot of administration. So that's what I could advise people to do if they really want to help.
And for more information about your work?
www.ida-africa.org.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.